You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We're brought to you by Sleep Number. I'm Pete Medhurst. Here's what's happening. The Redskins looking to do a little bit more, at least with the first-teamers, than they did in exhibition game number one. Two series didn't amount to much, but Greg Hoffman says they've got goals heading into game number two.
Nothing went well for Jay Gruden's offense against Baltimore, but one thing frustrates him more than the others.
2.2 yards a carry is what I was most disappointed in the whole game. For us to be a physical football team, we have to be able to run the ball better.
The run game was effective in practice Wednesday, with multiple backs breaking significant runs. There's no live tackling, so exactly where a play ends is up for debate. But after one run that ended with Chris Thompson in the end zone, DJ Swearinger shouted, "That may have been a first down, but it wasn't a touchdown." We'll truly never know. At Redskins Park, Craig Hoffman, Sports Radio, 106.7 The Fan.
The game comes up 7:30 on Saturday night. Ravens and Dolphins tonight. You'll get a look at Jay Cutler, at least for a couple of series, for Miami as he comes back for 1 year and $10 million. Baseball, Nationals, and the Padres coming up tonight at 9:35 with a pregame with Charlie and Dave right here on The Fan. First pitch set for 10:05. You get Edwin Jackson tonight pitching for the Nationals. Yesterday, a 3-2 loss to the Halos. We're brought to you by Sleep Number. Only Sleep Number has Sleep IQ technology. From the Crop Metcalf 5-star sports desk, I'm Pete Medhurst, Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan.
Grant and Danny with you on this Thursday. August is already 17 days old. Welcome in, 106.7 The Fan. How was your Wednesday evening, Dan?
Very casual and open because the Nationals promptly got their game over with in the middle of the day. As I've always said, every game should be right in that 1 o'clock window. It's so delightful. Then the night is your own, and it was splendid. Just home alone, hanging out in quiet, cold silence. The best. The best.
It's strange how much more decision-making, how slow time moves, how much more open a night is when the Nats don't play.
Yeah.
It's almost as if there was never any sports, I wonder what my life would look like.
I think, dude, you stumbled onto something. I know we have actual items to discuss here on the radio program, and you're going to tease all those different things. This is too important. I always think of this. I have acquaintances. I know these people. They're out there.
Yeah.
There are millions and millions of people that don't watch sports and don't care. I mean, don't care at all, to the point that if a game is on that of a local team in one of the four major sports, that not only do they not watch it, but they actively choose not to. These people are among us. They're around us.
They're everywhere.
They have the same rights and privileges as everyone else. And we you interact with people that don't care. I always wonder what that would be like. What would it be like to not care at all?
I do think I would get a lot more done, but I say that with the caveat that I would be a lot less happy. That my basically what I like to do as my time away from life, to
Grant's
kind of
time,
unplug and just veg out, is watching that game and getting lost in it for a few hours. And you need that therapy, however you get it. So my life would be worse, but I also think I would get a lot more done, because as it currently stands, if I don't have something done by 7:05, or on a Sunday as an example, if I don't get what I need to done on Saturday, it's not getting done over the weekend during the fall, because Sunday is football day all day. I'm either at a game or I'm watching games, and I can't possibly multitask by doing a task around my house and missing a couple series of a game. That's not going to happen. These games are too precious. We only get so many of them. But I was thinking about that last night. Luke Thomas, mixed martial arts, boxing, combat sports expert.
He knows it.
Has a show on SiriusXM. He's going to join us at 10:30. I texted Dar yesterday and I said, dude, we got to get Luke Thomas on because of this adjustment being made to the weight of the gloves in the Mayweather-McGregor fight. 8-ounce gloves, not 12-ounce gloves, are going to be used. He's going to explain to us exactly what that means and whether or not that is actually a big advantage for McGregor, who normally uses 4-ounce gloves.
That's how it's being billed, right?
But most of Mayweather's career, I was reading last night, he's actually fought with 8-ounce gloves. So everyone's pretending like this is going to be such a massive advantage for McGregor. It was actually originally Mayweather's suggestion to do this, and this is an amount of ounces in the glove that he's been using for much of his career. So we'll talk to Luke about that. Also want to get into the Redskins player under the most pressure in week two of the preseason. But let's start with the Ezekiel Elliott latest, as his 6-game suspension and appeal is ongoing. How much did you follow the back and forth yesterday of the NFL and the NFLPA after we were off the air for the abbreviated show for Nats Baseball.
Oh, I saw the entire tennis match here. They're going back and forth, and it's ugly. So to recap for folks, the NFL in so many botched, because you have to look at this in the full panoramic. You have to look at this in the full 360-degree view of their history with screwing up these investigations. Go back to Ray Rice where Roger Goodell, not trained in this at all, just a bumbling figurehead, friends with a bunch of owners, is interviewing Ray Rice and his wife about what happened. It's like the first rule of investigation is you'd never do that, but that's how they handled it. They botched every step of it the entire way. They screwed up Greg Carter. They screwed up Adrian Peterson, Josh Brown. The list goes on. So here, they're now trying a different approach to sort of slam the fist down and come down hard here. The NFLPA has to, at times, and George Italo's come on with this a bunch, and Demaurius Smith, who comes on with the Junkies a bunch, has explained this. Sometimes this is the ugly part of having to defend everybody no matter what and keep due process and justice in line.
Yeah.
You've got to defend somebody that may have done something pretty bad, but you have to stick with the rules. They're now having this kind of internet tennis match. Let's go through some of the things that were said.
Well, first, the NFL came out with a statement that kind of kicked everything off yesterday afternoon. So the NFLPA basically alleged that the NFL doesn't have what it says it has on Ezekiel Elliott, didn't have enough evidence to support the claim that he had committed domestic violence, that the league is wrong, and that the suspension of 6 games shouldn't be upheld. Furthermore, multiple reports, Yahoo's Charles Robinson, as well as one in Dallas at, I believe it was the Fort Worth Star-Telegram, both came out with information on Tiffany Thompson, who is the ex-girlfriend of Ezekiel Elliott, having tried to, or at least discussed with a friend, blackball Elliott with its sex tape to get money. And the league obviously viewed this as the NFLPA leaking that information out to reporters so that it could be disseminated to basically make the witness, and in this case, the victim, look worse. So this is the statement from the NFL as a reaction to the NFLPA saying that it doesn't have all the information it thinks it does, and the reports at Yahoo and Dallas about this sex tape and the blackmailing. Statement from Joe Lockhart, NFL Executive VP of Communications. Over the past few days, we've received multiple reports of the NFLPA spreading derogatory information to the media about the victim in Ezekiel Elliott's discipline case. It's a common tactic to attempt to prove the innocence of the accused by discrediting the victim. In this case, Ms. Thompson, when coming forward to report such abuse. Common or not, these tactics are shameful. Efforts to shame and blame victims are often what prevent people from coming forward to report violence and or seek help in the first place.
Ooh.
The league rolled up its sleeves in the middle of the ring like Vince McMahon and said, come on out, play your music, run down this ramp, and get into the ring with me.
Now, before we get to the NFLPA statement, that's true, by the way. That is absolutely a thing in our society, whether it's with sexual assault, whether it's with other forms of abuse, etc. It is a common tactic for defenses to do some victim blaming. And that's why when you remember that Rolling Stone UVA case where the girl made up her assault, not only was that terrible and awful and it changed a bunch of things, but everybody who was upset about it, who kind of understands this, was that much more upset because it makes it that much harder for the next victim, an actual victim, to be believed.
Right.
Don't cry wolf. And this is something that is a huge challenge in our country. And people sort of are skeptical, but what did she do? We need to default to trusting victims. And this is something that happens that is one of those tactics. The NFL is right here, which is awkward because they're accusing the NFLPA of leaking information. That's the NFL's playbook. That's what they've always done with these investigations, is leak something out to one of their reporters and kind of test the
water. And along those lines, the league is going to be in the easier spot to look good here.
Right.
The league is going after the guy that supposedly hit the female. The NFLPA is defending the guy that supposedly hit the female.
Right.
So the league is naturally going to look better. They've also done what is the right thing if Ezekiel Elliott is guilty of what they're saying he is, by the way. But worst case scenario, let's say that they are wrong and he didn't assault his ex-girlfriend.
Right.
They are doing what I would consider is like the straw man easy way to get the most amount of people on your side as well. That's the cynical way to look at this.
Right.
If you're on Team Ezekiel Elliott, if he actually didn't do this, the smartest play for the league from a business standpoint in the court of public opinion is to say they're shaming the victim. Because that is something very easily that can have people up in arms and say, yeah, they are. You're right.
Absolutely.
Now, that isn't to say that they shouldn't have said what they said. But again, it all comes back to, did Ezekiel Elliott do this or not? We don't know the answer to that just yet. So the NFLPA, dueling banjos here, but no. They came back with their statement against the NFL. Quote, the public statement issued on behalf of every NFL owner is a lie. The NFLPA categorically denies the accusations made in this statement. We know the league office has a history of being exposed for its lack of credibility. This is another example of the NFL's hypocrisy on display and an attempt to create a sideshow to distract from their own failings in dealing with such serious issues. They should be ashamed for stooping to new lows. End quote. Now, when they say, we know the league office has a history of being exposed for its lack of credibility, they're talking about, in some of the other cases earlier in our timeline here, where the league ended up looking bad after they came out with the Tom Brady saga, yeah, not quite handled correctly.
Right. So they leak information, quote unquote, about the investigation of Chris Mortensen that is later completely 100% proven untrue. But at the time, everybody hears that report from Mort and has every reason to believe it. So everyone like runs across like, yeah, he definitely did this thing. And then it's scientifically proved to be impossible what they said happened. But the point is, who cares about the two offenses? It's just the league has had this tactic in the past. And they're now calling out the NFLPA allegedly for it. And who knows who did what?
Here's where it gets so cloudy for me and where it's difficult, I think, for the average person. Like me and you are listening to these things. I actually think more often than not that the league is right that something happened. But the evidence they use or how they get it solved or how they end up leveling and sanctioning their punishments is either off or shady or there's something weird about it. But did Tom Brady knowingly deflate footballs? Yeah, I think he did. Did Ezekiel Elliott hit his ex-girlfriend? I don't know. If I had to guess, I would say at some point something happened. But it's basically getting to that destination, what they have to do to get there that often is wrong. The PA statement here says they categorically deny the allegations made. That means they're saying, we didn't leak that to Charles Robinson. And that's a big leap, by the way, for the league to make. If they don't know for sure that someone with the Players Association gave that information to the Dallas-Fort Worth Star-Telegram, or that someone from the PA gave that information to Charles Robinson, to say that they leaked those things, that's a pretty big deal.
It's a huge deal. And again, it's that much more just what the word hypocrisy comes up from the NFLPA because, again, that is the NFL's tactic. Someone from their office in New York letting one of their reporters know, hey, this is what's coming out and this is the idea. And now they're accusing someone else of doing it and pretending to be offended. That's why the NFLPA is ticked off. So, again, this is so hard to quantify all this, but you're right. The NFL is not an investigative body. They have no authority.
They act like one.
They have authority over their player, the person that signed up to be in the NFL. But they basically have to beg. They have to beg for information like anybody else. They got their investigators and lawyers and people that pay a bunch of money. If they don't have a witness or victim cooperate, they don't get squat.
Question we need you to answer for us on the phones. We'll open them up next, 800-636-1067. Hadid Carpet Cleaning listener lines yours first time this morning. As of right now, what side are you on? If we're drawing a line in the sand, NFL is on one side versus Elliott. NFLPA is on the other, pro Elliott. Which side are you taking at this moment? Grant and Danny on the fan.
Guys, Danny Ruya here from my pals at Ted Britt Ford. I love them. I love them so much. I didn't do just one. No, sirree. I went two different times. That's right. The Ruyas are a two-car family. We're a two-Ford family. We're a two-Ted Britt Ford family. Got myself the Ford Edge 2016 version. It's awesome. That car is outstanding. That's the wife's regular whip. Drives it all over the place. Couldn't be more comfortable. Exact right size for the growing family. Everything about it kicks butt. It's great. You can get one now. 0% financing for 72 months on that Ford Edge. Also, a Ford Fusion. Oh, did I mention that's the car that I'm driving every day? It's charging up downstairs in the parking garage right now. Also, an Escape and Explorer, plus $1,000 trade-in assistance. That's good. Speaking of trade-ins, Ted Britt Ford is going to do something kind of cool. Here's what it is. You drive that old busted onto the lot, they'll give you 125% Kelley Blue Book value on your trade-in. That's like more than 100%, man. Apply that towards your new ride. Drive off in a Ted Britt Ford. I'm telling you, these guys are the best. They know what they're doing. They've been in business almost 60 years. It's not an accident. They take care of you. Go see them in Fairfax or Chantilly and tell them Danny sent you.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe.
Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.